Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Today, we're going to untangle a legal case, one that ended up in the Florida District Court of Appeal, no less.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, it involves a breach of contract, but it's the details that really make this case fascinating. We're talking about COOLMAX fabric,
Yeah.
you know, the kind you find in athletic wear.
Yeah, breathable, wicks away moisture.
Exactly. But in this case, it was supposed to be used for something very different, prosthetic liners.
Right. And that's where things get interesting. This case revolves around two companies, Alps South, a Florida company that makes these prosthetic liners, and Paul Gottlieb & Co., a New York City fabric converter. Alps had contracted Gottlieb to supply this very specific COOLMAX fabric for their liners.
Okay, so we have athletic fabric, prosthetic liners, and a contract dispute. What's the big deal? Why a deep dive on this particular case?
Well, because both the business relationship, you know, how it started and then went sour, and then the legal battle that followed, it really shows how important the specifics of a contract can be. The relationship between these two companies was actually good at first. But then things went south when Alps started noticing like inconsistencies in the fabric, the color, the texture. It just wasn't right. Gottlieb agreed to fix it, to rework the fabric, but what happened next is what sparked the whole legal mess.
All right, I'm hooked. What did Gottlieb do? Spill the tea?
Well, they substituted a yarn in the COOLMAX fabric without telling Alps. I mean, it was a similar yarn, but not the exact same one.
Oh, sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was this tiny change. It seemed small, but it really messed up the fabric's stretchability. And stretchability is super important for prosthetic liners, right? You need them to fit snugly and comfortably.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened?
Well, it wasn't long before Alps started getting complaints from customers. The liners weren't comfortable anymore, so they had to issue a recall, and they had to destroy a bunch of their inventory.
So Gottlieb broke the contract. That's pretty clear. They messed up the fabric, and Alps had to deal with the fallout. You'd think they'd be on the hook for all the damages, right?
You would think so, but this is where it gets tricky. Gottlieb's contract, it had this little clause tucked away on the back page limiting their liability, specifically for what are called consequential damages.
Hold on, before we get into the legal stuff, can you explain what consequential damages are
Yeah.
and why this clause would be so important in this case? I mean, I get the basics, but.
Sure. So consequential damages, they're kind of like the ripple effects of a breach. Not the direct cost of the breach itself, but the losses that happen because of it.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this.
Right. So in this case, the direct cost might be what Alps paid for the bad fabric, but the consequential damages, those would be like the cost of the recall, getting rid of all that inventory, and even maybe lost profits from customers who went to a competitor because of the liner problems.
Gotcha. So by sticking that limitation of liability clause in there, Gottlieb was basically trying to limit how much money they'd have to pay out if they messed up,
Exactly.
which seems kind of unfair, honestly. They're the ones who broke the contract.
Yeah, you could see it that way. But it is a common thing, you know, especially between businesses, to try to manage their risk. The question is, was that clause even enforceable?
Right, because a contract is a contract, right?
Well, that's where the Uniform Commercial Code comes in, the UCC. It's basically this set of laws that covers business deals in the US, and it helps figure out these kinds of disputes.
Okay, so the UCC comes into play here, but how?
We're talking about a classic battle of the forms situation. The two companies, they each have their own standard contracts, and those contracts have different terms.
So it's a legal tug of war, each side trying to get their own version to stick.
Pretty much. And the UCC, it gives some guidelines for figuring out which terms actually apply. In this case, the court had to look at that limitation of liability clause and decide if it was a material alteration to the contract.
Material alteration. Sounds serious.
It is. They had to decide if that clause was so important, so central to the agreement, that it basically changed the whole deal for Alps. If it was a material alteration, Alps could say, "Hey, we didn't know about this. It's not fair." And maybe it wouldn't be enforceable.
So if Abs was totally blindsided by this clause, they might be able to dodge its limitations and get Gottlieb to pay for everything.
That's the question. But the court had to look at all the details, you know, how long the companies had been working together, what the clause actually said. Could Alps really claim they were surprised or that it would really hurt them?
All right, let's get into those details then. What did the court look at when they were making their decision? All right, let's get into those details then. What did the court look at when they were making their decision?
Well, this is where it gets even more interesting. The court actually decided to uphold the limitation of liability clause.
Really? So they sided with Gottlieb.
Yeah. which meant Alps couldn't get those consequential damages, you know, the big ticket items or the lost profits.
Wow. Why? I mean, it seems like Gottlieb was clearly in the wrong here.
I know, right? But the court focused on this idea of surprise in contract law. Alps and Gottlieb, they had done business together before, multiple contracts over time, and they all had similar clauses limiting liability.
So Alps couldn't really say they were surprised by it since it had been in their past deals. But what about hardship? Didn't the court consider, like, how much this whole thing cost Alps?
Yeah, they did acknowledge the damage, but they looked at what Alps had told Gottlieb before the breach happened. Alps had complained about the color and texture problems, but they didn't say specifically how much trouble they'd be in if Gottlieb didn't fix it.
Hmm. So because Alps didn't spell out the potential consequences, the court didn't think the limitation of liability clause was unreasonable?
Exactly. It's like, imagine you hire someone to fix your roof, right? And you tell them, oh, it leaks a little. If they do a bad job and your whole living room floods, you can't really blame them for ruining your furniture unless you had specifically warned them about that risk.
Okay, I get it. So Alps didn't clearly communicate the potential domino effect of bad fabric. So the court sided with Gottlieb on that. Does that mean Gottlieb was totally off the hook?
Not quite. Remember all those legal nuances we talked about? The court said, okay, Alps can't claim lost profits because of the clause, but they could still get other types of damages.
There's always a but, right? So what other damages could they get?
The damages that are directly tied to the breach itself, like the cost of the messed up fabric, the expenses from the recall, all that stuff, those are sometimes called benefit of the bargain damages or incidental damages.
So it's about making Alps whole financially, taking into account the bad stuff they got from Gottlieb.
Exactly.
And incidental damages, that's like the extra cost because of the breach.
Right.
Like having to store the bad liners, find a new supplier, things like that.
Exactly. It's all part of the domino effect. Gottlieb swaps the yarn, the fabric's no good, Alps has to recall and destroy liners, and all that costs them money.
All right, so not a complete win for Gottlieb. They still had to pay for their mistake, but not the lost profits. Is that a closed door for Alps, or could they still try to get that money?
Actually, the court said that even without that clause, Alps hadn't really proven their lost profits. Not with enough detail to justify giving them money for it.
What do you mean? I mean, they obviously lost business because of the bad fabric.
Yeah, but remember, it's all about evidence in court. Alps had to show, with real numbers, how much profit they lost specifically because of Gottlieb's mistake.
Yeah.
They could prove they destroyed bad liners, sure. But...
but that doesn't automatically equal lost profit. What if Alps had a ton of extra inventory anyway and they would have sold it no matter what?
Exactly. They had to make a clear connection, you know, show that the breach caused a specific amount of lost profit. Maybe they lost future orders or a customer switched to another brand because of the liner problems, things like that.
This is way more complicated than I thought. Breach of contract, a clause limiting damages, proving lost profits. Where do things go from here?
Well, the case wasn't over. The court sent it back to the trial court. Basically, they said, figure out exactly how much Gottlieb owes Alps in direct and incidental damages, but leave out consequential damages and lost profits.
So the fight continues.
Yeah.
But on a smaller scale now, it really shows that contracts matter, right? This isn't just for big companies.
Absolutely. Every business, big or small, needs to pay attention to contracts.
This has been a real eye-opener. It makes you think about how this case affected both companies, even beyond the legal stuff. Like, did they keep working together? Did this change how they deal with contracts in the future?
Those are great questions. It reminds you that there's a whole story behind every legal case, you know? And the business side of things can be just as interesting as the legal arguments.
Maybe we can dig into that another time. For now, let's dive deeper into the different types of damages in this case. We've been talking about this Alps versus Gottlieb case, and man, it really shows how contracts can be like a safety net and a battleground at the same time. You know?
For sure. This case is a great example of something that trips people up all the time in contract law. Battle of the forms. It happens more than you'd think. Two businesses, they exchange contracts, but the terms clash.
It's like a legal dance-off, trying to figure out which terms win when both companies have their own pre-printed forms and clauses.
Right. And in this case, the court really had to dig into the Uniform Commercial Code, that UCC thing we talked about, to sort out that limitation of liability clause.
Yeah, the whole surprise and hardship analysis was key here, wasn't it?
Totally. The court had to look at whether that clause was so out there, so unexpected, that any reasonable business would have been caught off guard. And they considered if the clause was just too much of a burden on Alps, given what happened with the breach.
And in the end, they decided the clause was legit, which meant Alps couldn't go after those potentially huge consequential damages or the lost profits from the whole mess.
Right. But it's important to remember, Gottlieb didn't get away scot-free. They still had to pay for the direct damages, the incidental damages, those costs tied directly to the faulty fabric. So, yeah, the clause gave them some cover, but it didn't wipe away all the consequences.
This really highlights the importance of understanding the different types of damages that can pop up in contract disputes, doesn't it? It's not as simple as it seems.
It's not. You've got those consequential damages, the indirect losses from the breach. Those are usually the big ones, financially speaking.
Like dominoes, right? One thing leads to another, and the costs just keep piling up.
Yep. And then you have the direct damages, which Alps ended up getting in this case. Those are the damages that come directly from the breach itself, like the benefit of the bargain damages, which aim to put the injured party in the same position they would have been in if everything had gone right.
Right, making them whole again. And then there are those incidental damages, all the extra costs that come up because they have to deal with a breach, like having to store the rejected fabric or find a new supplier. It's a lot to keep track of.
It is. And this case shows why having a legal expert on your side is so important. Contract law, all the different types of damages, it gets complicated fast.
I think the big takeaway here is that contracts aren't just some paperwork you sign and forget about. They have real power. They shape how businesses work together. And there can be serious consequences when someone breaks them.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if you're running a big company or just starting out, you have to take contracts seriously. Understand every part of them, know what you're agreeing to, and don't be afraid to get legal advice if you need it.
Well said. This whole deep dive has definitely given me, and hopefully everyone listening, a lot to think about. It's a good reminder that the fine print matters. A lot.
No doubt about it. And as we saw in this case, even something that seems small, like that limitation of liability clause hiding on the back page, can have huge consequences down the road.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the world of contracts, breaches, and all the legal twists and turns that come with them.
I hope this was helpful, and maybe it'll even inspire you to take a closer look at the contracts you're dealing with in your own business. You never know what you might find.
Great point. And until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep with us.